are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading an offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 163, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 3. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday in number 14, Jesus and Magdala and Gergesa, the demon driven into the swine. It was approaching 10 in the morning when Jesus, with some of the disciples, mounted a little boat, crossed the brook some distance up to the stream, and rowed into the ravine. This was a shorter way than that by land. Jesus climbed the northern side of the ravine, and the disciples joined him one after another. While he was ascending, two raging possessed higher up on the mountain were running about, darting in and out of the sepulchres, casting themselves on the ground and beating themselves with the bones of the dead. They uttered horrible cries and appeared to be under the spell of some secret influence, for they could not flee. As Jesus drew near, they cried out from behind the bushes and rocks that lay a little higher up on the mountain, "Ye powers, ye dominations, come to our aid." "Here comes one stronger than we." Jesus raised his hand toward them and commanded them to lie down. They fell flat on their faces, but raising their heads again, cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High, what have we to do with thee? Why art thou come to torment us before the time? We conjure thee in the name of God to leave us in peace." By this time, Jesus and the disciples had reached them as they lay trembling, their whole persons horribly agitated. Jesus ordered the disciples to give them some clothing and commanded the possessed to cover themselves. The disciples threw to them the scarves they wore around their necks, and in them they were accustomed to muffle their heads. The possessed, trembling and writhing convulsively, covered themselves as if constrained to do so against their will, arose and cried out to Jesus not to torture them. Jesus asked, "How many are ye?" They answered, "Legion." The wicked spirit spoke always in the plural by the mouth of these two possessed. They said that the evil desires of these men were innumerable. This time the devil spoke the truth. For 17 years these men had lived in communication with him and in the practice of sorcery. Now and then they had suffered assaults like the present, but for the last 2 years they had been running frantic around the desert. They had been entangled in all the abominations of magic. Nearby was a vineyard on a sunny slope, and in it an immense wooden vat formed of great beams. It was not quite the height of a man, but so broad that 20 men could stand in it. The Gergesenes used to press in it grapes, mixed with the juice of that intoxicating herb of which I have spoken. The juice ran into little troughs and thence into large earthen vessels with narrow necks, which, when full, were buried underground in the vineyard. This was that intoxicating beverage which produced effects so fatal upon all that drank of it. The herb was about the length of one's arm, with numerous thick green leaves, one above the other, and it terminated in a bud. The people of these parts used the juice in order to rouse in themselves diabolical ecstasies. On account of its inebriating vapors, the drink was prepared in the open air, though during the operation a tent was erected over the vat. The pressmen were just coming to their work when Jesus commanded the possessed, or rather the legion in them, to overturn the vat. The two men seized the great, full vat, turned it upside down without the least difficulty. The contents streamed around, and the workmen fled with cries of terror. The possessed, trembling and shuddering, returned to Jesus and the disciples, who also were very much frightened. The devil now cried out by the mouth of the possessed, begging Jesus not yet to cast them into the abyss, not yet to drive them from this region, and ended by the request, "Let us go into yonder swine." Jesus replied, "Ye may go." At these words, the two miserable possessed sank down in violent convulsions, and a whole cloud of vapors issued from their bodies in numberless forms, insects, toads, worms, and chiefly mole crickets. A few moments after, there arose from the herds of swine sounds of grunting and raging from the herdsmen's shouts and cries. The swine, some thousands in number, came rushing from all quarters and plunged down through the bushes on the mountainside. It was like a furious tempest, mingled with the cries and bellowings of animals. This scene was not the work of a few minutes only. It lasted a couple of hours, for the swine rushed here and there, plunging headlong and biting one another. Numbers precipitated themselves into the marsh and were swept down over the waterfalls, and all went raging toward the lake. The disciples looked on disquieted, fearing lest the waters in which they fished, as well as the fish themselves, would be rendered impure. Jesus divined their thoughts and told them not to fear, since the swine would all go down into the whirlpool at the end of the ravine. There was at this place a great pool of stagnant water, completely separated from the lake by a sandbank or strip of shore. It was overgrown with reeds and bushes, and at high water was frequently submerged. This pool was a deep abyss, which, through the sandbank, had an inlet from the lake, but no outlet into the same, and it was a whirlpool. It was into this cauldron the swine plunged. The herdsmen, who had at first run after the animals, now came back to Jesus, saw the possessed who had been delivered, heard all that had happened, and then began to complain loudly of the injury done them. But Jesus replied that the salvation of these two souls was worth more than all the swine in the world. Then he bade them go to the owners of the swine and say that the devil, whom the godlessness of the inhabitants of the country sent into the men, had by him been driven out of the men, and that they had gone into the swine. The possessed who had been delivered, Jesus sent to their homes to procure clothing, while he himself with the disciples went up toward Gergesa. Several of the herdsmen had already run to the city, and in consequence of the reports they spread, people came pouring out from all sides. They that had been cured at Magdala, as well as the two Jewish youths cured the day before, and most of the Jews of the city had assembled to wait for Jesus' coming. The two possessed, now cured, came back in a short time, decently clothed, to hear Jesus' preaching. They were distinguished pagans, belonging to the city, relatives of some of the pagan priests. The people employed in preparing the wine mentioned above, and whose full vat had been overturned, were also running about the city, publishing everywhere the loss they had sustained at the hands of the possessed. They gave rise to great alarm and uproar. Many ran to see whether they could rescue some of the swine, while others hurried out to the wine cask. The confusion lasted until after nightfall. Jesus, meanwhile, was instructing on a hill about 1/2 hour from Gergesa. But the chief men of the city and the pagan priests sought to keep the people from him by telling them that Jesus was a mighty sorcerer, and through whom great evils would come upon them. When they had taken counsel together, they sent out a deputation to Jesus with instructions to hasten and beg him not to tarry in these parts, and not to do them still greater injury. The deputies added that they recognized in him a great magician, but begged him to withdraw from their boundaries. They sorely lamented their swine and the overturning of their brewing vat. Their fright and amazement were extreme when they beheld the two possessed, cured, and clothed, sitting among the listeners at Jesus' feet. Jesus bade them dismiss their fears, because he would not trouble them long. He had come for the sake of the poor, sick, possessed, alone. Since he knew well that the unclean swine and the infamous beverage were of more value to them than into the salvation of their souls. But the Father in heaven, who had given to him the power to rescue the poor people before him and to destroy the swine, judged otherwise. Then he held up to them all their infamy, their sinful dealing and sorcery, their dishonest gains, and their demonolatry. He called them to penance, to baptism, and offered them salvation. But they had the injury done them, the loss of the swine in their heads, and so persisted in their pressing, though half frightened request, that he would go away. After that, they returned to the city. Judas Iscariot was particularly busy and active among the Gergesenes, for he was well known in these parts. His mother had dwelt here with him for some time when he was still young, and just after he had run away from the family in which he had been secretly reared. The two possessed were acquaintances of his youth. The Jews rejoiced in secret over the loss sustained by the Gentiles in their swine, for they were very much oppressed by them and greatly scandalized on account of the unclean animals. Still, there were many among them who lived on easy terms with the pagans and defiled themselves with their superstitious practices. All that had been cured on that day and that day before, as also the two possessed, were baptized by the disciples. They were very much impressed and thoroughly changed. The two possessed last delivered, and the two Jewish youths entreated Jesus to allow them to remain with him and be his disciples. To the last delivered, Jesus replied that he would give them a commission, namely, they should go through the 10 villages of the Gergesenes, show themselves everywhere, and everywhere relate what had happened to them, what they had heard and seen, call the inhabitants to penance and baptism, and send them to him. He added that they should not be troubled if they were greeted by a shower of stones from those whom they addressed. If they executed this commission properly, they should receive and recompense the spirit of prophecy. Then they would always know where to find him, in order to send thither those that desire to hear teachings. They should impose hands on the sick, who would thereby be healed. Having thus spoken, Jesus blessed the two young men, who on the next day began their mission, and later on became disciples. The apostles, in baptizing here, used water that they had brought with them in leathern bottles. The people knelt in a circle around them, and they baptized three at a time out of the basin that one held, sprinkled each three times with water scooped up in the hand. That evening, Jesus and the disciples entered Gergesa and went to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. They came, the magistrates of the city, urging the ruler to make Jesus depart as soon as possible, and threatening to hold him responsible for any further injury the city might sustain at his hands. Jesus told the disciples that he had permitted the demons to overturn the vat and to enter into the swine, that the proud pagans might see that he was the prophet of the Jews, whom they so shamefully despised and oppressed. He wished at the same time, as he said, by the loss of the swine, in which so many of them bore a share, to draw the attention of these people to the danger that threatened their souls, and to arouse them from the sleep of sin, that they might hearken to his teachings. The beverage he had allowed to be wasted, as it was the principal cause of their vices and a demoniacal possession. On the following day, a great crowd again gathered around Jesus, for his miracles had become known throughout the whole country, and many Jews who had been converted left Gergesa at once. The apostles who had been healing in the villages nearby returned in time for Jesus' discourse, bringing with them those they had cured. There were some women among them carrying baskets of provisions, which they gave to the apostles. Once, when Jesus was closely pressed by the crowd, a woman from Magdala approached him. She was afflicted with an issue of blood. Though long unable to walk, she had gathered up strength to slip alone through the crowd and to kiss his garment, whereupon she was healed. Jesus went on with his discourse, but after a little while he said, "I have healed someone. Who is it?" At these words, the woman drew near, giving thanks. She had heard of Enyu's cure and had imitated her example. That evening, Jesus, the disciples, and the two Jewish youths lately delivered from demoniacal possession left Gergesa, journeyed around Magdala, and climbed the mountain north of Hippos. This last named place was not situated on the lake, but on a mountain some distance inland. Jesus and his followers descended on the opposite side and put up at a shepherd's house. Here, Jesus reminded the disciples that the birthday of Herod would soon be celebrated and told them that he intended going to Jerusalem. They tried to dissuade him from doing so, saying that the Pasch was now not far off and that they should be obliged to go. But Jesus replied in such a way as to give them to understand that he did not intend to show himself openly at the feast. The two Gergesian disciples again begged to be allowed to accompany him. Jesus replied that he had another mission in reserve for them, namely to go around among the 10 cities between Sidar and Panaeus and announce to the Jews of those places all that they had seen and heard. He gave them his benediction and made them the same promise as to the other two. They fulfilled their commission well, the spirit of prophecy should be given to them. They should always know his whereabouts and should be able to heal the sick in his name. As with the others, so too with them, a certain time had to elapse before these promises would be realized. The two others had first to announce him in the 10 Gergesian villages, and afterward to the heathens of the Decapolis. The youths bade farewell to Jesus, who directed the disciples to go to Bethsaida, and in spite of their entreaties, he himself remained behind. He retired into a wilderness near the shore to pray. I saw him walking about among the steep, rocky hills, some of which looked back and like human figures amidst the darkness of night. It was already quite dark when I saw Jesus walking straight over the waves. It was almost opposite Tiberias, a little eastward of the middle of the lake. He appeared as if intending to pass within a little distance of the disciples' bark. The high wind was contrary, and the disciples, weary of rowing, when they saw the figure on the waves, they were affrighted, for they knew not whether it was Jesus or his spirit. And they cried aloud from fear, but Jesus called out, "Fear not, it is I." Then Peter cried, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee upon thy waters." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter, in his ardor, leaped on the little ladder and out the boat. He hurried along for a short distance on the troubled waters toward Jesus, as if on level ground. It seemed to me that he hovered over the surface of the inequality of the waves appeared to be no obstacle to his progress. But when he began to wonder and to think more of the sea, its winds and its waves, than of the words of Jesus, he grew frightened and commenced to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me!" He sank up to the breast and stretched out his hand. Instantly, Jesus was at his side. He seized his hand and said, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" Then they entered the bark, and Jesus reproached Peter and the others for their fear. The wind lulled immediately, and they steered toward Bethsaida. A ladder was always in readiness to be thrown over the side of the boat for the convenience of those about to enter. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. So we hear this account of the swine receiving the evil spirit that Jesus casts into them, and the swine go into the water, and some of the people are very upset because of this. There are questions about the uncleanness of the water now because of the swine entering them. But Jesus, he realizes that what he did was important. He teaches this. Jesus replied that the salvation of these two souls was worth more than all the swine in the world. The salvation of souls is worth more than swine, is worth more than you name it. The salvation of souls is the object, the aim, the goal of all that we do. At the great costs and expense to ourselves, the salvation of souls should be our aim. People again begged Jesus not to enter because after that they thought, well, if he's going to come, he's going to ruin more things. And so they ask him not to come, but he enters and he compels them by his teachings. What an interesting thing we also heard today, that Judas was connected to this area of the Gergesenes. And so we know Judas will hand over Jesus, betray him. It almost makes you wonder, well, is there a connection here? That because he was in this area where the demons were so prevalent, did he already have some sort of evil within him, even as he followed Jesus? It makes you wonder. We also heard about another woman coming to Jesus and touching his cloak, that she heard the story of the other woman, and she thought, if it worked for her, why not for me? And she receives healing because of her faith. So sometimes the healings we hear about in the Gospels, well, now we come to realize, well, there are multiple similar healings that are taking place as we are reading Anne Catherine Emmerich. But I would venture to say, you know, we do something very similar, don't we? Have an eye problem and you go to the shrine of Mother Cabrini because her intercession restored the eyesight of baby Smith. We go to a shrine because we hear someone else experienced a grace and maybe we say, if for them, why not me? We are seeking the miraculous too. We seek the Lord and we ask him to hear us, to help us. And maybe as our reading ended, it was Peter seeing Jesus in the water. And Jesus says, come to me. And well, we ask the Lord to remove any fears we have so that we might have a strong faith and might walk on water too. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.